You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. I tell you, a busy old day in the Premier League to reflect on. Here are how things stand after Sunday's results, which of course saw Liverpool beat Spurs by 2-1. Aston Villa, very impressive in their 3-1 win over Manchester United. But we'll kick things off at Stamford Bridge. Arsenal beating Chelsea by 1-0 as we welcome Frank Leboeuf into the show. Stevie and Craig, of course, with us as well. Craig, if there was anything that epitomised the gulf between these two teams throughout this campaign, it was shown very evidently today, wasn't it, in this 90 minutes?
Absolutely. Arsenal bossed this from the off. They were the only side that had a great shape about them. They were slick with some of the passing. When they were from defence to midfield, out to the wide position, at times was terrific. I mean, the one little criticism of Arsenal was the final third, right? And that could have cost them in the end. But clearly, they outplayed, outpassed this Chelsea side. It's a Chelsea team that generally are pretty good in possession, but couldn't get any possession of the ball. A couple of chances that came their way in the first half was, the one was from a Mendy kick to the wide position, a long diagonal ball, and they got in behind. Another one was a ball in behind, I think, for Havertz against the run of play. Apart from that, there was nothing to talk about from a Chelsea perspective.
From Arsenal perspective, they're really good.
Aye. I've got to say, the thing I like about Arsenal, above all, everything else, is they're not looking to play 100,000 passes before they get up the other end of the field. And you saw that today. One of the moves, I think, was four passes, yeah, and it ended up with a shot. To me, that's proper football. Not spending half the game just knocking the ball sideways or backwards, just possessing the ball for possession's sake. They don't possess it for any other reason than they want to go forward. If it's not on, they don't. But if it is, then they go for it. And that is the one thing I really like about them. The positive. And they just don't keep the ball for the sake of it. There's a purpose at the end of it. Doesn't always work out, but my goodness, when it's working, it's just great to watch.
Did you see Cucurella there?
Holding Xhaka, wasn't he?
I mean, I think that summed it up. I mean, that's a horrendous goal to lose. They deserve to lose a goal anyway because Arsenal was so much superior. Yeah. But that summed it up. He stood holding Xhaka and was watching the ball go in there. I mean, yeah, that was an impressive performance today.
Can they push City all the way? Are we starting to change that mindset?
Yeah, I mean, look. Yeah, you got to. If you keep playing like that without any serious injuries, yeah. Again, Saliba was very good at the back, but he didn't have to do a lot. What he had to do was good, but he didn't have to do a lot because Chelsea was so soft, so poor going forward. I thought the best player again, and he's a key for them, was Partey. Yeah. And what he does is brilliantly efficient at times, where it's 5 and 10 yards, as Stevie said, 5 and 10 yards passes. Doesn't look great round the corner or whatever, tidying things up in the middle of the park. I thought he was brilliant in there. And yeah, I mean, Jesus is not scoring. When they're managing to win, they should have scored with the header.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I like Xhaka.
Yeah, he's playing well.
Who would have thought that?
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
When he was leaving, has to be the manager in the setup.
Right.
And the one thing he's doing, he keeps popping up on the edge of the box or in the box. Never did that in his life in the Premier League, ever, until this current Arsenal side he's playing in. All he did, in my opinion, was sit in the middle and pass it sideways and argue with people. And if anybody was running past him, he'd trip them up. He's completely changed his game.
Yeah.
He's absolutely doing none of those things. He's concentrating on playing. And even when he does get involved, he's got that real confident, smart look about him where he's just like baiting the opposition, but looking as though he's like, His butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Instead of this angry man that was gesturing to his home supporters at one stage. So, I tell you, for me, he's amongst probably four or five players, he's one guy they can't do without. Along with his mate Partey right in the middle. What a pair.
But he did show that side at the end.
Towards the end of the corner, wasn't it?
Where Steve is talking about, he seems to have learned his lesson.
Yeah.
The game's done. There's 30 seconds left and he's him and Kovacic are going at it and he wants to go back and get involved and his teammates are pulling him away. And I'm not suggesting it's a huge thing, but if that ends up as a yellow card, and we know he's got a tendency to pick up a lot of those, it's a suspension that you don't need, and it's a big part of that cog coming out of the team. That was about the only negative had it arisen, because Arsenal were superb.
Frank, before we get you on Chelsea, when I asked the boys if Arsenal can push City all the way, you shook your head. Why?
Well, until City and Arsenal confront themselves, you know, I still think that City is superior to Arsenal. Maybe Arsenal will prove me wrong, but that's what I deeply think, because I see City, comparing to all other clubs in the Premier League, capable of winning all the games that they play, even when they play 10 against 11. Any other team would have lost against Fulham, even if it's at home. But City didn't stop playing the way they play, and they kept on feeling, on making me feeling that they will win the game. And it's what happened. I don't see Chelsea, Liverpool, Tottenham, Newcastle doing the same as our City, like I don't see Arsenal so far doing like our City. Again, when the game should have been played like, I think, 10 days ago or a fortnight ago, but until they don't confront themselves, I would say that City is still superior than Arsenal.
Let's talk about Chelsea then. 13 points, just seen that on the screen. That's a big difference, isn't it? Between first and seventh as it stands. Why were Chelsea so bad today, Frank?
Well, the guys put the point on something very important, and I think it was Stevie when he talked about the way that Arsenal were playing, that they don't try to get the position of the ball, and they play in five passes, they go forward and they try to score. I think that's the thing missing for a while now, for maybe years with Chelsea, where they don't put any pace in the game. Tactically, nowadays, clubs are ready. Every club in the Premier League are ready to cope with any tactics. They work on that. They work for years, for hours, sorry. They check videos and everything for the week, during the week. Things we didn't do at the time. What we had, it was the fighting spirit, the commitment. And Chelsea doesn't have that. They don't have the pace. They don't know how to commit together. They don't know how to change the rhythm of their game. And so they are so... We know what they're gonna happen. They try to get the position of the ball, and that's it. There is nothing more than that. Today, except Thiago Silva, I didn't see any player doing something good. I want to know what Havertz is doing offensively, because his right foot, when he had the chance, he made a cross. You know, even if he's a left foot, he's an international player. I don't know what he did with that cross. We ended up not at the far post, but the far, far post. and defensively on the corner kick, when they conceded the goal, is the guy who has to kick the ball away. He missed the ball for like 5 inches. I don't know. That's not possible. You know, we all know that he has talent, but what's wrong with him? In his head, like many other players, where they don't play, they play just security. I make the passes, I make the pass to make sure that in my statistics that's going to be fine. You know, it's not going to be shown that I missed a pass. That's not enough. You want to win something, or at least you want to finish in the first four. No, they're not going to finish in the first four if they keep on playing like that. Arsenal, I agree with the guy, they were so much superior. They deserve to win. There is no match between the two teams. That's appalling. That's Chelsea Football Club. That's really appalling.
10 days ago, when they came back from Austria, the word that everybody was using was momentum. Not brilliant performances, but Graham Potter had...
Yeah, it was unbeaten.
Unbeaten.
Yeah.
They had a bit of momentum rolling. That's been splattered in the space of 7 days. Now, there are already one or two out there who think Todd Bowley and his cronies should go and replace this guy. That's the world that we live in these days. The truth of the matter is, He's got his hands tied behind his back. In some sense, he's just arrived in. Their injury list, and it's no, this is no excuse for their performance because they're outplayed, but it's maybe an excuse for why he's struggling to find the right balance within the team. It's as long as probably anybody's in the league with top players. And that's a huge problem for him, because you can masquerade, you can mask that at Brighton in a sense, if you've got injuries and you pick the odd result up here and there. Not at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Not at Liverpool, not at City, not at United. You're still sending good players out there, and you've got to have some sort of performance and result. He got neither today. And he's under pressure very, very quick. I just hope there's a lot of common sense at this club in the boardroom. Yeah,
the boardroom. Watching this reminded me of something you said about Liverpool, actually, Stevie. All the players seem out of form at the moment. Like as Frank said, who is your star? Who is the guy that's going to get you out of this hole?
I would agree with that, but the head scratcher for me is how this side, particularly in this game at home, couldn't possess the ball. I mean, a Graham Potter side, that's what you think of when you think of Graham Potter. And I also think of Chelsea earlier in the season. I think it was a Tottenham game. The possession was fantastic. And I don't think there's a huge difference in the names.
So what's changed? Because there was that point where they get out of their own half, get out of the half of the half.
That's why it's a head-scratcher. How can a side with so many good players not be able to string three or four passes together? And I mean three or four passes. At any stage between the whistle to start the game and the whistle to finish the game.
Are they stuck in their head, like Frank was saying?
It has to be a case of maybe the message that Potter's given them is obviously different to one they've had from previous managers, but they can't get over whatever's in the brain. Because players as talented as what Chelsea have should be able to pass the ball, at least. You talk about personal form. You know, we're talking about somebody like Havertz who can pick a pass, or Sterling who can run past people. There's nothing. But at least possess the ball.
Yeah.
And they can't even do that. And if you can't do that, you ain't winning games.
Arsenal never gave them a minute, though.
No, they were.
I mean, it wasn't like a super high-pressing game, but it was high enough. And if a ball dropped in the midfield or somewhere, there was always one or two red shirts there getting on the second balls. They never gave them a chance. How many times did a Chelsea player, particularly in the first half, get the ball, get turned, get his head up? No, never. Hardly ever. So their shape, Arsenal, was great. And Chelsea didn't have the stomach to try and play around it. I mean, Stevie mentioned Brighton. Brighton played around teams like Arsenal and others.
Yeah.
And a much better manner in which this Chelsea team attempted to do it today. It was, to say it was a poor performance would be doing it something nice.
Last point, Frank insisted, apparently we talked about this penalty shout that happened in the first half. You were bothering our producer early on this morning. Frank, you felt this should have been a penalty for Chelsea?
Well, you know, it's not a big foul, but you know, the thing is, Partey doesn't even look at the ball. He doesn't even try to reach the ball, but he grabs Silva. Look at him. He doesn't play the ball. We're going to see in this next action. Look, he doesn't play the ball, and I don't know what he's doing. And for me, I'm sorry, that's a penalty. And maybe not in England, maybe it's the different rules. But when you don't look at the ball and you grab the player, it's a foul, and it's the last thing. It's in the 16-yard box, so therefore it's a penalty. So I don't know why in the VAR they don't say stop. There is something to check out. It's very strange.
Meanwhile,
he doesn't give an excuse to Chelsea, by the way.
Well,
I've been told you want to respond.
I don't.
Would like to respond.
I don't think it's a penalty.
What about this?
There's always contact. It's not a clear push. I think there's contact for sure. No.
Had he not been looking straight at him, I might have
I don't
swayed a little, but he's actually looking at Silva when he does that.
We're the only people that I've even heard talking about this. I don't know.
That doesn't make it wrong.
I didn't know at the time.
Nobody else is talking about it because it's not a penalty. I mean, when a ball comes in the box,
this is American football.
When a ball comes in the box, sometimes you give defenders credit for nudging players before they head it.
Right.
It doesn't make it a foul.
That's completely different. That's completely different, Craig, to looking at somebody and then doing that.
He's got his hands on him, but he's not necessarily pushing him. And that's why nobody else is talking about it.
He's not pushing a boot.
Elsewhere today, it was Spurs.
As I said at the time, it's not a penalty.
Elsewhere, it was Spurs against Liverpool today. Liverpool getting their first away win of the season, beating Antonio Conte's side by 2-1. Once again, Spurs forgot to turn up in the first half. Liverpool made the most of that. Nice goal from Salah after 11 minutes and a gift from Eric Dier with 5 minutes to go before the break. This will be the Salah opener. Nice work here. Finds himself in some space to make it 1-0 to Liverpool. Thoroughly deserved.
Great finish, isn't it? I mean, two touches, one in control it and one to put it in the back.
And the mistake, obviously, but then the finish is brilliant, isn't it?
Well, don't panic. Just let the goalkeeper decide what he's going to do, and then you can just go where he's left the gap.
Yeah, that was the header.
Basically, yeah. He just waits for Luis to commit, and then pops it over him. Perfect.
Liverpool, of course, going on to win by 2-1. First time, I think, this season that we've seen back-to-back goals in the Premier League from Mohamed Salah. Overall, it was a really weird game, which every game seems to be at the moment, that involves Spurs.
Or Liverpool.
Well, yeah, that's true, I suppose. Well, but Liverpool look more normal than Spurs.
They looked quite sharp early on. And then, obviously, Dier sold the jerseys with that mistake. A little bit of change again from Liverpool with Nunez and Salah playing a little closer together with Firmino roaming around. So just getting Salah in that central position where clearly, obviously, he's somebody who just generally is a terrific finisher. Mm. But from Tottenham's point of view, listen, it's their fault. There's no point blaming injuries, right? Because we know they have them. It's not because Kulusevski's on the bench and Mora had a Achilles knock and blah, 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 why they start the way they do. It's not, because you saw what they could do in the second half.
Yeah.
They can play. They can get balls in the box and they can get you on the back foot, and Liverpool were hanging on. They can play when they need to, Tottenham. That's the trouble, when they need to.
We saw it against Marseille. We saw it against Bournemouth.
Yeah, but Tottenham's got a problem. They can't go out and start playing like that.
Why?
We've got a nosebleed.
Well, because had Liverpool taken the chances they had in the second half, this game would have been a ridiculous score. Tottenham cannot start a game and play open football because teams will rip them apart defensively. They cannot defend. They can't defend.
But how can... second half against Marseille, second half against Bournemouth, second half today, they were the better team.
There's a couple of important things here, Dan. Where was the game at?
No, I don't understand your point.
Here's the point.
Okay.
They had no choice. They're 2-0 down. They're getting absolutely battered. They're at home. They've got no choice.
But then you're...
And so they start throwing people forward and they start closing the ball down. And that's what I'm saying. We're sitting here thinking that we want to see Tottenham playing the way they played for the last 25 minutes. Right? That's what we're saying. But they can't do that, because if they did that, they'd lose a lot more goals than
they have
already.
They haven't lost those goals. They didn't lose the goals against Liverpool or Marseille or Bournemouth.
But they didn't because Liverpool doesn't take the chances. That's the point I'm making. This game could have been 6-4 or 6-3 to Liverpool.
I don't know, Stevie.
Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. Like, second half, Spurs were the better team.
I didn't say they weren't the better team in the second half.
Right.
I'm telling you that the number of times that Liverpool broke on them and had opportunities, had they either taken a better shot or made a better decision, Tottenham can't defend when they're open. Tottenham's never going to be able to play an open attacking game, because when the ball's turned over when they're going forward, they can't defend.
But why haven't they conceded then?
Because Liverpool didn't put the ball in the back of the net.
Yes. They didn't concede against Bournemouth when they came out and played better in the second half.
I can't believe it. You're actually arguing this point with me. Because Tottenham had, number one, had no choices. I've just told you to go forward.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, great, why can't they do this? But whenever the ball turned over, the holes that they left, the fact that
But they were 2-0 down.
The fact...
What? How can they defend worse when they're coming out to try and attack if they don't concede, but they concede two against Bournemouth, they concede two against Liverpool, and they concede one against Marseille?
You don't get the point.
No, I don't get your point, Stevie.
The point is Tottenham played the way they did for the last 25 minutes of this game, right? The game would end up being 9-3 every week. Because Tottenham leave holes everywhere. The fact that Marseille and Liverpool didn't take advantage has got nothing to do with the fact that they leave holes all over the shop when they're playing that way.
Liverpool will do that to most teams, Stevie. They'll break on teams like they broke on Tottenham. They'll do that to teams. I thought Tottenham were excellent in this. I thought Tottenham were great in this. Yeah, they're going to give some chances up when they play like that. Who won't?
They were great for 25 minutes. They weren't particularly... Liverpool, until the first goal, Liverpool were all right. Liverpool were comfortable in this game until the first goal. He made a couple of changes, and it's a bad goal to lose. Yeah, it's a great play from Harry Kane, but defensively, it's a shocking goal to lose. Canati's just terrible defending. So, I'm not falling for this. Tottenham can do this from the start of a game to the last. They can't. They can't do it, and that's why they don't do it, by the way.
Go on, Frank.
Dan, I carefully listened to what you were saying, guys, and especially Stevie. So according to Stevie, Tottenham defends the first half because they don't know how to defend. So they defend that way to concede not too many goals. And then they attack knowing that they're not good defending, opening at the back, to go back to score goals, and they do so.
Well, forget the Liverpool
game. It's not
game.
Their games. According also to Stuart Robson,
Frank.
And Gab Marcotti. So for me, I'm sorry, I've just finished what I mean. It doesn't make any sense. Why do you want to start defending if you know you don't know how to defend? Just attack, play higher on the field, and try to score goals. You don't care because you don't know how to defend. If you score more goals than the opponent, you're going to win the game. But you start every game trying to defend according to know something you don't know how to do. So that's the thing I don't understand in your explanation. You know, why they defend so deep knowing they don't know how to defend?
Well, there's a straightforward question to ask you then, Frank. Why did they do that?
Yeah.
They always do it. They always do that. That's how they start every game.
Because
that's how they play every game. And again, that's how the manager sets them out. But why does the manager set them out that way?
Because that's his DNA.
Because he doesn't think that he can open up and play against teams. He doesn't trust them.
His Inter Milan team's never opened up, really. I mean, he's not a manager
doesn't
that
opens up.
He's not a manager
that's
that opens
DNA.
Up.
That's his DNA. That's his DNA. He always played that, you know. That's the main thing. He's an Italian guy. He wants to secure the defence. And he thinks that with those players, he has to do even more because they don't know how to defence. So it doesn't make any sense, especially because every game we see that the right thing for them is to attack. It's when they are the most effective. So maybe we can consider that they're wrong, that he's wrong, that he should think about something else. But there is only one option. We defend the first half, we try to concede too many goals, and then we react. And we try to come back. That's the only thing. And every game, we have that explanation, and we have that, we see that.
Man City, when they play, right? Maybe that's Achilles' heel in the Champions League. I don't know. When they're battering teams, even teams that are a little closer to them, they give up chances at their end because they leave themselves open, make bad mistakes. Look at Cancelo the other week. Was it Anfield? Can't remember the game. They make mistakes.
On Salah.
Are Tottenham and Conte frightened? Right, have they got the best defenders on the planet? No.
Nope.
But are they good? Standard of defenders? Decent, yeah. Are they prepared to make mistakes and pay the odd price for pushing forward and getting goals? Because they've got goals in their team. I mean, Liverpool were hanging on at the end. I just don't understand. I think Frank was trying to point. His point he was trying to make, I think, is they tried to play the way they normally play and they lost two goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you can blame finishing for Liverpool or not. When they opened up, it was a really exciting game. They gave away a few chances. They could have scored three or four themselves. It's a negative mindset from Antonio Conte. They're not playing Liverpool every week and Man City and Chelsea and Man United.
They did the same with Bournemouth last week.
They were 2-0 down.
They did exactly the same with Bournemouth. And actually, Bournemouth did exactly what Liverpool did today. Except this time, Liverpool managed to defend for the first time in a while. But Bournemouth couldn't do that But Bournemouth had chances to kill the game, didn't do it. So that's what they do.
From a Liverpool perspective, a good week, which is not something we've said very often.
Good week, and they actually... I always say, you know what? Part of your job as a back four and a goalkeeper is to defend. And what they did today was, when it mattered, they defended. Nothing else. They did their job.
Right.
The goalie made a couple of saves. Defenders made some challenges. When they were under pressure at the end, balls thrown in, the people were winning headers. That's what your job is as a defender. Every time you step on the field, every 9 times out of 10, if you can do that, then you'll be OK. Liverpool, up until today, had been crumbling under the pressure of teams going after them. But today, they did what they normally do. They created chances, they scored goals, that's not a shock. But today, they actually defended like proper defenders.
Were they lucky not to concede a penalty?
Absolutely. I'd already given it. I don't understand how a referee or a VAR who gets a second look can see somebody pushing out. I mean, that's just a clear push. And it's in his back.
This angle here.
I mean, look at it. Yeah. He's actually on the circle of the number 9 is where he pushes him. So I don't understand how it's not a penalty.
Especially when we saw Cancelo yesterday, similar sort of challenge, and obviously he gets sent off and concedes a penalty.
And Alexander-Arnold did some 5-10 minutes later outside the box.
Yes,
and it was a push again.
Oh, that was I was embarrassed for him.
Yeah, wasn't it? It was a challenge that you wouldn't kind of make.
Yeah,
and he pushed the player off. I mean, some of his passing today was tremendous, particularly the diagonals. But yeah, that for me is a clear push. Unlike the other one, I know people will say, "Well, why is that a push?" And who's the one in the Chelsea game?
Party
for me, and I'm being serious.
He just had his hands on.
Party for me is more leaning into the player.
Right.
Whereas you, like, there was two angles there. You could see the going right in and pushing in the back. I think it's completely different.
You say no penalty, Frank?
No.
When? No, of course it's a penalty, it's a clear push, and there is nothing much to say, you know, I can't believe. Referees and people, especially in the VAR, they have to start knowing the rules and knowing how players play and how they, and you have to feel the game. I mean, that's a clear push. There is no excuses, there is no fake from the opponent. I mean, that's crazy. It would have been a different game. So why do you make stupid mistake like that when you're a referee? Because you change the game. You really change the game. Sometimes I was on the field and I was saying to the referees, you know, go back to your place. You know, we're going to handle that better than you. You're in the middle and you're putting a real mess because you don't know how to ref. I used to say that to some referees because that's what I see sometimes. They know nothing. They don't feel the game. And that's stupid. I saw the Betis Sevilla against Sevilla game. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy what I see sometimes, you know. Say, referee, what do they do? What do they do?
Meanwhile, another big game today, another big result. Aston Villa, first game of Unai Emery in charge. Boy, they started really well in this match, and they would go on to win it by 3-1. Leon Bailey with the opening goal, didn't he, with a fantastic free kick. We saw a response slightly, didn't we, then, from United, but it was sealed in the end, Ramsey with the goal after the break. This was old United, wasn't it? This was the United earlier in the season.
They didn't play, you know, mentioning Martinez.
Say again?
You're not going to mention Martinez.
Or was there not 10 other players on the pitch?
Frank, there's 10 other players.
Brilliant free kick in you from Digne.
10 other players.
He brought Bailey. Bailey and Watkins played close to each other, and Dindonka came in at the side alongside Douglas Luiz. Dindonka, who really had been on the bench, even though Gerrard had signed him, gave him a bit of steel in the middle of the park. McGinn was on was left out. And there was a real buzz about Villa Park. Now, you know, it's a new manager, new manager bounce, whatever you want to call it. But they've got a guy who is actually a very good coach and knows how to coach. And I think it's going to be a really, not because of today, but I do think it's a really exciting appointment for Aston Villa going forward.
They kept absolutely flying out of the traps, didn't they? That's exactly what you want for a response for a new manager.
I think they did their homework. You know, I think Unai Emery obviously watched our show last week and we pointed out, Frank and I, that Martinez... was a weakness, and you did say, well, why don't teams pick on the weakness? Well, today, Aston Villa did. So Unai Emery must be watching, Dan. Martinez involved in two of the three goals, and maybe could have got sent off, losing his wag.
Wow, Stevie.
So other than that...
Not that you're watching this game with any sort of agenda.
I tell you what, other than that... What, you're the,
I mean,
you're
come
the
on, Stevie. Man United were not
he
bad.
He sat here.
No, no, no.
I'm not interested in the game. Hold on.
No.
He sat here last week and tried to tell Frankie and I that Martinez was a good, a great defender.
He's been playing
and
well.
He's been fantastic, blah, blah, blah. And Frankie and I tried to tell him he's got some problems and he wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have
But he's been one of the best players.
He wouldn't have it.
Would you listen to what you're saying?
He's been interested in what he's saying.
What are you saying?
Listen, Frank and I will take an apology. We're not...
Listen.
We're not an apology.
We're not, listen. We can't look at Man United through the guise of...
No, in this game we can't.
We can't look at them through the guise of two guys who've had a hot take on a certain player.
Yes, we can. On this game, yes, we can.
I mean, Martinez is too small. It's not going to wash. I'm sorry. You're telling me a guy who plays for Argentina, you're telling me they don't have tall players in Holland?
It's not going to wash, yeah, right.
I mean, it's really not.
Who else is buying him?
Well,
there's nobody else. He's still at Ajax. If Ten Hag hadn't gone to Man United, he's still at Ajax right now.
Well, Ten Hag did go to Man United.
You're not going to try and convince me the guy's a centre back.
He's been one of the best players. And then today was not a good day all round. I don't understand.
Aye, right.
Where did it go wrong in particular today?
Well, he's told you.
Well, yes.
I mean, there's one guy. Yeah. I mean, it's not an agenda driven at all. You know what I mean? Martinez went back in the dressing room, flogged and dragged through the streets all the way back to Manchester off the back of the bus because he was so bad. I'm not buying that. He's been when Varane was fit, him and Varane were absolutely rock solid there. You know, the guy's an international player.
Just because they won some games, you don't see the mistakes.
The guy's been playing well.
Because they win some games, you don't see the mistakes.
Oh, everybody makes mistakes. Show me a player on the pitch that never makes a mistake.
Consistently.
Show me a guy on the pitch. He's been one of the best players.
It's called getting away with it.
Listen.
It's called getting away with it.
It's not good.
Every single defender that's ever played the game hasn't always played well.
It's not good coming in with an agenda.
The key is getting away with it.
Once you make a hot take on a player,
ask Harry
you've got to backtrack. Harry Maguire's not been playing well.
Harry Maguire's not been playing.
Eric Ten Hag bought... Did he buy Lisandro Martinez because he had him at Ajax and he thought he was a bad player who couldn't jump and handle tall players? No, he didn't.
This is bigger than Martinez, obviously, Frank, in the sense that this was Aston Villa coming out and really testing this Manchester United side, who have looked good over recent weeks and whose failings were demonstrated today.
I mean, first, I have sympathy for Steven Gerrard. You know, when I see, if I was in his socks, you know, let's say, and see, watching the game, I say, why my player didn't play like that when I was in charge? You know, is it because of me or because of their mentality? I mean, all the players, they were so focused on what they had to do today because they're so scared of the new coach because they don't know if they're going to play that they show their talent. I mean, that was an absolutely fantastic Aston Villa team, and they deserved the win. Talking about Manchester United, yes, there was almost nothing. I mean, they were still on the coach the first 10 minutes, and they started to play. And let's say that for half an hour, they did well. They did quite well. And I'm not going to talk about Martinez because that's another debate, but because they were all bad. But the second half didn't even exist, didn't even react. As you said, it's the old Manchester United, or the Manchester United we saw at the beginning of the season, where you had almost nothing, you had no stamina, you had no collective efforts. It was almost nothing. I was so disappointed with what I watched because it was a team who didn't fight for their colours. And that's, of course, not enough, especially against a very good Aston Villa team.
You've got to give Unai Emery some credit because the biggest thing for me in the game was United couldn't handle Bailey coming through the middle.
Right.
Under Gerrard, he's been on the wing and he stood there and stayed there. And we've seen nothing of him. And the one thing I bet United never saw coming was him coming through the middle. Because they couldn't handle him today whatsoever.
How is Gerrard feeling? That's a good question.
Well, it happens.
I would think he's probably brushed it off.
Right.
Yes.
You're not watching it bitterly, going, where was this?
Well, let's be honest, Unai Emery's a better coach.
Certainly.
And he's a more experienced coach. Yeah. I mean,
Craig, I'm sorry, but you cannot say that it's because... you cannot give credit to Emery, who just arrived like 2-3 days ago, that he changed dramatically the way Aston Villa played. I mean, of course, he's a very good coach. I saw him many times. Do you really think that he changed? We saw an awful Aston Villa in many games, and now we see a team who clearly completely changed. Is that because of Emery? Really?
No, but I mean, when a new manager comes in, Frank, sometimes you get a bit of a bounce. And Stevie mentioned the Bailey scenario. Also, the other thing that was evident was young Jacob Ramsey, sure, who's a terrific young player, but has went off the boil.
Yeah.
When he's making runs through the middle, then that causes a lot of problems for defenders, for midfielders. And look, I say Unai Emery's a better coach. Steven Gerrard may become a great coach one day. I think there's a huge doubt about that. But Unai Emery, he knows his onions.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's managed in several countries. He's had excellent success. And I think, ultimately, I don't know where it will take Villa. I mean, depends what money they spend, but it'll be a good appointment.
Can we talk about Ronaldo's captaincy?
I don't get it. I don't get the fact that he's captain. It's almost like some media-driven thing from the manager to show everything's all right. The other side of the coin, and I'm not blaming Ronaldo for them losing, not at all, but they have not performed well domestically when he's played. That's not really up for debate. When they've had pacey players, Rashford through the middle, and Alanga's played, and I know there was no Jadon Sancho again, but when they've had pacey players through the middle, they've played better. And I honestly, I just don't see the scenario outside the Europa League or the Carabao Cup or whatever it is that I'm putting them in the team.
Is it me, or did it seem again that every time they got near the box, which wasn't that often, it was almost like they were trying to find him again all the time? I got that feeling that it was kind of schoolboy. Yeah. They were trying to find him.
Instead of trying to appease him.
And there was no Fernandes either today, which, you know. I just don't see the scenario, I don't know about you, with him in the side.
Aye.
Because the whole focus becomes on him playing.
Yep.
And as Stevie mentioned, the focus then comes, oh, we need to find him or he's going to be a nightmare in the dressing room because he's going to be moaning and groaning.
Right.
Because you know, he wants every team he plays to be talked about. He's been talked about all his career. Every day, every weekend, it's all been about him. It's been about him recently, but in a negative sense. And he wants it to be... so right on the field from a professional perspective that, as Stevie said, people are trying to, instead of doing the right thing, I just think it takes away from everything else United are trying to do, and they haven't played well with him in the side.
Meanwhile, also today, we saw Newcastle's fine season continue. They're up to third in the table now after thrashing Southampton at St Mary's. 4-1 for Eddie Howe's side. Hasenhüttl gone. Sacked Saints, of course, in the relegation zone and in big trouble after a poor run of form. But the story here continues to be Newcastle and continues to be the fact that they keep getting it done, obviously, week in, week out. We're obviously showing the Villa goals by accident here, but the Newcastle result was another big statement.
You know, would you say, even though they spent money in the summer and they have a coach, and Antonio Conte, who's had more success than Eddie Howe, clearly, because he's been managing Bournemouth, but he's doing a great job. Would you say, really, Tottenham, or even Man United, who we saw today, who we thought they were through that patch, but they're back in it, are Newcastle really much worse off than those teams? Mm. Even though they didn't go after big-name players built from the back.
Thing is, what Eddie Howe's done is made the players that he even acquired, Stevie, play even better. Obviously, Almiron, the perfect example of that.
Aye. Oh, they've got a... I mean, that you look at that on paper and it doesn't particularly jump at you, does it? It doesn't particularly inspire you, but what they do have is they've got a work ethic, they've got a togetherness, they've got a spirit. I mean, That goal typifies what's going on with Almiron. He lost control of that ball completely, but somehow it fell back to his feet, and then he puts it home. So, kind of like the perfect storm, everything right now is going for them. And
perfect,
the truth is...
Perfect storm, good line.
Well, and the truth is, a lot of the time, when you have that, and everybody's pulling in the right direction, at the very least, you're tough to beat.
So let's take a look at how the bookies have things set. Arsenal and City are going to finish top four. I think that's a safe bet. Newcastle 6-4, Spurs 11-8, United 6-5. Liverpool are still the favourites to finish third, 6-4 on. It's really tight, isn't it?
Like, I mean, who's taking? Just to go back to that. Who's taking Dan Burn from Brighton?
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to City or Liverpool or, I mean, you know, Joe Linton talking about getting. He didn't play today. Willock, Longstaff, all these. I mean, so they're up there because. Yeah, they've signed some steady Eddie players, particularly at the back, but he's coaching them.
Yep. He's making them better.
And making them better. It's a bun fight, isn't it? Basically, outside Arsenal, and thank God, thank the Lord for Arsenal, really. You know, to be given as a title race. For
otherwise it'd be top four discussion, and that'd
just be a top four, and we'd be shouting at you even more, and he'd be screaming about Martinez, and God knows what we'd be. Blame Martinez. There's no title race.
Martinez. Oh, God.
Do you think we've heard the last of this?
Global warming. Right. Martinez.
Hold on. I figured it out.
What's that?
The Martinez angle is his de facto deflection tactic from Arsenal.
Right, I see.
Oh, no, no.
Yes.
No, No. He got up my nose again last week. That's completely
my fault. So just taking a look at whoever is going to take over Southampton, what sort of task they have in hand. They're sitting with Wolves and Forest at the moment. Wolves, of course, confirming Lopetegui yesterday will take charge.
You've got to feel sorry for Hasenhüttl, though.
It's, I mean, tough, though,
he's had a couple of big beatings. But let's be honest, Southampton, right, they'd sell the goalposts. If somebody came along to buy the goalposts, they'd sell them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Carabao Cup then midweek. We'll see Bournemouth take on Everton, Leicester against Newport County. Four ties to you on ESPN Plus on Wednesday, including Liverpool against Derby County, and it's Manchester City against Chelsea.
Just with bottom mids.
Ooh, why not?
Meanwhile, in Italy, the big game today, of course, in Turin. Juventus taking on Inter Milan. Juve with that 2-0 victory. How things have turned around a little bit, I suppose, Allegri's side. When you take a look at what this means and where they stand, they are now 1 point ahead of Inter Milan, sitting in fifth in the table. For more on this, let's welcome in Gab Marcotti. Hey, Gab, Allegri should have brought these youngsters in a long time ago.
Yeah, amazing, huh? What happens when you invest a ton of money into your youth academy, develop these youngsters, and then actually decide to play them after 3 months, after your highly paid veterans have basically stunk up the joint. They can actually deliver it for you. Now, obviously, there's a lot of buzz around the likes of Nicolò Fagioli, who scored the second goal, Miretti, who I played in the hole tonight. The one thing I would say is I don't think Inter were poor in this game. They had their chances. No Lukaku, of course. He's obviously going to be out for an extended period. But if you don't take your chances, you get punished. And we saw a tremendous goal from Rabiot. And then Fagioli scoring on his home debut, the guy who is Juve born and bred. Exciting stuff.
How much is this just the last throw of the dice from Allegri?
I mean, I think they're up to fifth in the table now. They're level on points with Roma, who, of course, lost the Rome derby today. So it's not like a throw of the dice. He knows, I mean, you have told us all along that they're not going to sack him in midseason. He's got to do something. And, you know, funny enough, Angel Di Maria decided he was fit enough to play. You know, he came on towards the end. You know, if I'm going forward and I'm Juve, I don't need to see Angel Di Maria, frankly, ever again. I want to see people who want to be there, who are going to be part of my future. And I think you start planning for the future. I also think top four is probably attainable if they continue down this path. Remember, Federico Chiesa fit again. Vlahovic not involved tonight, but obviously he's going to be back after the World Cup, perhaps in midweek. So, you know, a lot of things are clicking. You don't want to get carried away, but you do have something there to build on.
fleeting visit from Gab tonight. You want to hear more from him? Fear not. Of course, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops on Monday. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Once again, another bad day at the office for Diego Simeone. Atletico Madrid can only manage a 1-1 draw at home against 10-man Espanyol. The fans didn't turn up to the second half, protesting from what they said was a lack of effort from the players over recent weeks. Once again, Simeone not starting João Félix. In fact, it was Félix who came off the bench to score the equaliser as it would finish 1-1. Pablo Zabaleta with us. Pablo, what has your boy Simeone got against João Félix?
I don't know. You have to see if João Félix is giving 100% in training or something like that. Because when he came on against Cadiz, I think it was a few weeks ago, he scored two goals, exactly the same today against Espanyol. It seems like the guy is doing well, but he doesn't have the confidence from Simeone. A lot of speculation about him leaving in January. It seems he was very frustrated sometimes on the bench when he's been dropped. But he has a reason. You know, he's been doing really well in the last few games. He deserves to probably be in the starting 11. For some time, we don't know. Probably Simeone expect more from him in training. I don't know. But obviously, he's been good and he deserves to play next game. Three goals in 1 week says a lot from him.
Pablo, it was interesting, wasn't it? The fan reaction today, of course. We saw the ones behind the goal not turning up until the second half to express their disappointment with the team so far. Simeone's running out of lives, isn't he?
Yes, I would say probably the most difficult moment from Simeone in 10 years' time at the club. You know, they're out of from the Champions League. They've been really poor today against Espanyol. They lost to Cadiz away from home last week. It's not been good enough for Atletico Madrid. The team is not playing well. Some of the players seems a little bit upset because of time playing. So, I don't know. Simeone have to get it right, and obviously they need to secure a Champions League spot for next season. I don't know if Simeone will stay next season or not. Of course, he got the right to decide about his future because he's done incredibly well over the last 10 years at the club. The fans love him, but obviously it's been a big blow for them to be out of the Champions League. So. Top four for them will be the main thing this season.
Such a head scratch when you look at João Félix and what he's done over the last few weeks, and yet still we can't get him that starting 11.
It has to be deeper than just what he's doing.
Can Simeone not get out of his own way? Is that the problem?
It has to be. I think it was the Champions League game a couple of weeks ago. And they need a goal, and he brings on a midfielder, and you've got João Félix sitting on the bench,
yeah,
who you've paid 100 and something million for. There's something else going on. That's not a coincidence. he either just doesn't like him, the falling out, whatever it may be, has got nothing to do with what this guy does on the field. Because every time he steps on the field, it looks to me as though he's given 100% and he's scoring goals, and he still doesn't get a game. So this looks like a personal problem rather than anything else.
It's a big problem if the coach gets the backing of the club and stays. It's a big problem for João Félix.
Yes.
Because it's a marriage made in hell between the two of them, as Stevie said. It's not working. Hasn't really worked. It's had fits and starts. And he's at that age now where he's been there, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. I can't remember exactly. But he's an experienced international player now. He's not the teenager.
Yeah.
He was a huge money signing, but he's got to resurrect his career, and that's not getting the odd game and coming off the bench, because he's a more talented player than that. But he could be one of these ones that just sees his career dwindling away because he's in the wrong place at the wrong time.
We'll say thank you very much to Pablo Zabaleta. Just a reminder, La Liga continues on Monday. Tomorrow it's Rayo Vallecano in action against Real Madrid. Real Madrid with the opportunity to go back to the top of La Liga table. Coverage starts on ESPN Plus at 3:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
3-2 Philadelphia. Surely Union are almost there. There's Gareth Bale! Astonishing! Gareth Bale off the bench on the fringes of LAFC season into centre stage, writing his own scripts in MLS Cup. He picks his moments.
It's why you sign superstars. It's why they become superstars, because they find a way in the biggest of moments to write themselves into history.
Incredible stuff, obviously. And then McCarthy coming on because the first choice goalkeeper broke his leg. And then it was all about the misses from Philadelphia Union. This is the opening one. And this was after, of course, LAFC missed their opening penalty as well. Gazdag putting it over the bar. Martinez then denied by the goalkeeper.
You know, if you're going to miss, then if the goalie makes a save, it makes you feel a little better. But the first one's got to be an absolute disaster.
Kai Wagner, then let's get some reaction after the game as LAFC win MLS Cup with Gareth Bale first.
It's nice. It's always nice to score in finals, and I seem to have the knack of doing that. Where it ranks, I'm not too sure, but it's a great feeling.
I'm gutted for our players. They obviously give everything for the badge and for the club and for the city. But, you know, kind of at a loss for words, because this is a heartbreaking loss, no question.
I wish it was against somebody else, honestly, because I feel for the team and the city. If we weren't in the final and Philly was in the final, I for sure would root for them. But to be put in that moment and come on, I just was hoping we find a way to keep it clean and then save a PK and hopefully something good happens.
I'm feeling better and better as time goes on. Obviously, I've had a few setbacks. I had a slight knock a couple of weeks ago, which kept me out for 10 days. So yeah, it's just one of those. I think it's been difficult mentally now leading into the World Cup. You see, there's so many players that are dropping out, and now they're missing the World Cup. So it's been difficult mentally, and I'm sure it has been for a lot of players playing, leading, going into this World Cup. So yeah, for sure, it's been in the back of my mind trying to make sure I'm 100% fit. And yeah, today obviously I felt good enough to come on the pitch and help the team. And yeah, obviously, like I said, it's happy to see us lifting that trophy.
Sorry, gentlemen, you have to see that wasted beer. I know, difficult for you to watch. Herken Set breaks down everything you need to know from MLS Cup on the latest edition of Football Americas, which will drop, of course, tomorrow here on ESPN+. Meanwhile, some good news surrounding Alphonso Davies. It didn't look good, did it, in yesterday's victory? It looked like it was going to be a serious injury, question whether or not he would be fit for the World Cup. Suggestions are, though, he will only miss two games, those two remaining games for Bayern, but will be fit for Canada come the World Cup starting at the end of the month. Latest name to be added to the questionable list is Philippe Coutinho, apparently, as to whether or not he will be making it to the tournament later this month.
Brazil hope not.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Hopefully Stevie's calmed down a little. Welcome in then to the latest edition Extra Time.
Too much.
I know. I had to get my questions. I've got them now.
They're buried under all
right. That's okay.
Rubble.
Stephen?
Well,
you okay? Frank LaBeouf is with us as well to answer your tweet. Stevie? Konate is Virgil van Dijk's best partner in defence, isn't he? Absolute monster, and he's only 23. Oh. I don't think that was tongue-in-cheek.
I think there was... No. I think at the start of the season, I was kind of beginning to think that maybe this was the partnership.
Right.
But... I don't know. I mean, again, today, the goal that Liverpool lose, in my opinion... Konate has to do way better. You know, if you're going to play Harry Kane offside, then you leave him. Mm. If you're going to go with him, then you've got to get ahead of him. You can't... And he's done nothing, basically. And he's not got close enough. And Harry Kane is so good that he just needs a little slither of space and he hurts you. So, I honestly couldn't tell you right now who I think the best partner is.
Another question for you, Stevie. If Liverpool went into the market for a midfielder in January, what type of midfielder do they need?
Declan Rice. I would be happy with that.
OK.
Well, he does about everything.
It's expensive, though. He's expensive.
Well, Van Dijk was expensive, and he's done well for us.
Yes.
Alisson was expensive. He's done great.
OK.
Now, on the other hand, Keita was expensive and has done nothing.
Okay, you just keep talking.
So you can't always win, even though you pay a lot of money for somebody. But right now, I think Declan Rice would be great for Liverpool, right in the middle of the park.
Stevie, can Newcastle last in the top four? It seems the teams below are doing everything they can to help them.
No.
No?
I don't think they can.
Where are they going to finish?
Six or seven.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the teams below them kind of don't have an awful lot about them.
Okay.
You know, you
think above them don't really, do they?
No. You think of Newcastle and you think of attacking football, you think of goals, you think of a good spirit, the whole thing. When you start going down, you think of teams like Wolves and all these teams, you kind of don't know what you're getting.
Well, I think you do with Wolves.
Well, well, you're not getting any goals.
I think six at worst.
Yeah. You think it's the worst?
Yeah, six, because...
Who are the big six are they replacing?
Well, no, because you've got City.
Yeah, City, Arsenal.
Yeah, then yep. In no particular order. Tottenham.
Yes.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Man United.
Okay.
That's five.
So you've got Liverpool not making the top six.
Oh, sorry,
six.
Liverpool six, yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah, six or seven then.
Mm-hmm. But as you said, the other teams are not particularly consistent, are they?
No. No. How are you, Frank?
No. You have to take in perspective, guys, that the fact there is a World Cup very soon, and I don't know if many Newcastle players will be involved. Therefore, they will have a kind of a rest where the others are going to work.
And they have no Europe, do they, Newcastle?
And most of the big teams, they will have to work. Yeah, and exactly. So, therefore, they have a chance to finish in the first four. I think we are able to make a statement right now about what we saw the... Let's say the first third of the Premier League, is that for me that the top teams, except Man City and Arsenal, that all others they dropped their level, and therefore it's an open space for many clubs like Newcastle with talented players. We are not involved in the European campaign and the World Cup for many players. Therefore, it's possible for Newcastle to be in the first four spots.
Frank, what's more likely, Denmark winning the World Cup or you dining in shorts?
Denmark
winning the World Cup. For sure.
Well, Canada might not get to the semis now.
I know, Alfonso Davies, obviously a doubt. A lot of people got in contact with me, Frank, worrying about your prediction.
It's going to be okay. I called him and I said, man, you know, I made a crazy prediction. Now you have to show up because otherwise I'm going to be treated like crazy by his ESPN FC people, you know. So
Frank must have some. He must have some money making scheme in Quebec or something.
Really? You think so? He's invested something somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. No. He's got something going on.
Nothing.
With all these last-second injuries, Craig, before the World Cup, do you think some players will be cautious and sit out matches this upcoming week if they have any minor injuries, or do you play because they're important league matches?
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, if you're carrying a knock, I mean, that's putting the cat among the pigeons.
Yeah.
If you're carrying, like, a slight calf strain or something like that, you know, what do you do?
If you're fully fit, you're straight in.
Yes.
And then you just have to deal with it. If you're already carrying an injury...
See, here's the thing, if you think about it, right? So when we played, we could just turn around and go, I've got this or I've got that.
Right.
You think of all the medical staff they've got now.
Send you for a scan.
They'll be like, this is what he's at it.
Right.
Yeah, and they can start doing send you for scans and all kinds and go, nothing there. Whereas before, if you wanted to make sure, you could just go, sorry. Bit tight in the hamstring.
Yeah, Shaka always said the back was a good one because it was a difficult one to assess.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult one to try and...
Back was always a good one.
Yeah. Frank, would you be 100% committed to Chelsea if France was just around the corner?
Yes, of course, because you cannot calculate and it's impossible. We talked about that last week, I think, with Shaka. During the show, where you say you cannot think too much about if you have to slow down, you know, during a game, because it's where you're going to get injured, because you're not completely focused on what you have to do, you don't know you think about not getting injured. It's when you start getting injured, you know, when you don't think about it and you go for it, you know, you avoid many problems, you know. For the other thing, it's not only the back that you can use in that case. The ankle also is impossible to know if you really have a problem. Yeah, it's a very good one.
Do you know what I've been impressed with, Frank, over the years?
Got the wax bath, then,
The improvement of the word focus coming from you. focus has definitely improved over the years from where
I
we started.
I work hard on it. Yes. I work very hard on it. I know.
Can Stevie replace Ralph at St Mary's? It's worth a shot, isn't it? Oh, it'd be the best day ever.
Yeah, I know, for God's sake. We're harping on about bleeding the size of Martinez.
I know. The Martinez dominates you.
I couldn't.
No?
Yeah, you could. You could.
Why not? Stevie, you get, what, 2 mil?
And the rest. And think how much of that he'd spend. At least a pound.
Yeah, still get Eleanor out picking up the leaves.
I'll do the garden.
Well, the problem is you say that, and you can start off by saying that, but at the end of the day, when a game starts, you're not thinking about money. It's about winning and all the other stuff.
Right. So and why couldn't you? Why would you say you can't?
Put your name in for it. God's sake.
I told you the last time I was coaching, I was on blood pressure pills. It drives you insane.
Right.
What are you on? You need some in here, I think, today.
Honestly.
You're driving him insane.
It drives you insane.
Yeah, but you're working in Southampton.
Exactly.
Southampton's nice. I used to live there.
Yeah. Told you.
South Coast. Ocean Village, beautiful.
If you've got a good team and you've got good players, then it's really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And you know you can't always win.
Right.
But at least when you're competitive and all that, it's great. You see, when you know you've not got a good team and you're actually losing to teams that you think are worse than you, that destroys you.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it. Like Hasenhüttl can't do anything. He doesn't have any money to go and buy other players.
You got the kind.
He's left with all the ones that. Through no fault of his, by the way. I mean, we talk about Forest bringing 21 players in, right?
Yep.
Southampton must have brought in like 21 players over the last two or three seasons.
Yeah.
And got rid of all the good players.
How would you fancy him as an assistant?
No.
Why not?
It would definitely be good cop, bad cop.
Why? What would be the problem?
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Well, because they'd all be naffed off with him after 10 minutes.
Why? What would he do?
Well, because he'll just tell them straight what the problem is.
Well, maybe that's what they want to
hear. You can't do that.
Oh, well.
You can't. If you've got, as I said,
yeah.
If you've got good players, then it's easy peasy.
Right.
And he would be fine.
Right.
But when you've got bad players,
right,
and they're not good,
right.
But they don't know that. They think they're good.
So he would just crush them?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, he wouldn't crush them. They would just down tools and blame him. It wouldn't be their fault that they can't play football.
Right.
They would blame him.
What, because what?
Well, I can't work. He's negative. He's always on my back. How can I perform?
I've not even done the job yet.
How can I go out and perform? Right,
Liverpool reserves, take that job.
Oh, come on, there you go.
Anybody? MLS,
reserve team's all right.
Great. Oh. Right,
well, hey, great job, the assistant. See, be an assistant of somebody that's really good
right.
for 25 years. Fantastic.
Right.
Great job.
Perfect.
Oh,
Stevie, I wish you got a job in coaching. We'd leave the show with it every day.
No.
It'd be fantastic. Final question. What is the funniest insult you've received from a fan that you're allowed to share?
Funniest?
This is tricky, yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah, go on.
So, one of my last seasons playing was over here.
Okay, the Bulldogs, was it?
Yeah, Bulldogs, and we're playing Charleston Battery.
Okay.
What about managing them?
No.
Still is.
You know, it boils down to the same thing. When you're losing, it's not
fun.
Anyway. It's not too late. So, it was one of my last games. Now, I was 38 and a half, maybe 39.
Okay, all right. It's like a child.
One of my last years.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought I was in decent shape.
As you still do.
Which I probably was for being 39.
Right.
But as you get older, your shape does tend to go a little rotund.
Where's he going with this?
Well, so I'm playing, right? But I'm playing with a bunch of young guys who are like
fit.
I'm getting not an ounce of fat.
Yeah.
They're like ripped because they're on the weights.
Right.
They're all slim.
Okay.
Right. So we're playing this game, and then all of a sudden I hear, we get a corner against us. And then all of a sudden I hear from behind the goal, who ate all the pies? Who ate all the pies? You bleep.
Yeah.
Who ate all the pies? I was like, ah.
Brilliant.
With a bunch of English guys behind the goal, I was like, ah.
Yes. Was that Eleanor and Michael?
Yeah.
They come to watch you.
Yeah. And actually, I saw them after the game. They were in the bar after the game.
Right.
And they came up to me and I was like that. All right, lads.
What did you say to them?
I just looked at them and they smiled and I went, ah.
It's quite funny. Yeah.
That's all right. That could be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
it
nice.
It just came from nowhere, though.
There's nothing.
Nothing nice, no.
No.
You had it from your own fans.
Everybody.
Yeah.
It's very rare somebody gets a bit. It's very rare a fan is sarcastic.
Right.
And funny. It's yeah. Usually.
It's usually.
It's usually nasty. Yeah.
It's nasty.
Nasty.
It's
Frank.
Nasty, nasty. Aye.
Nothing much that I remember, which would be in a nice way and get, I could tell, you know, because it was always nasty. But I remember one day I was warming up, you know, with the national team, and somebody came to me, a fan, and I was next to him, and he said, hey, Frank Leboeuf, you know, lend me your head, I'm going to rob a bank. I don't know what he meant. Oh. Maybe we needed a very ugly face to rob the bank. But I don't know. That was the only thing who made me... He made me laugh, you know. I couldn't stop laughing. He said, well, he needs my face to rob a bank, whatever.
Yeah, that's very
random.
That's
the only thing that I was thinking of, yeah.
There we are.
Marvellous.
Well, that's it. You've got to date night tonight, haven't you? I'm taking Mrs. Burley out, Stevie.
Sunday night. Strange night to go out.
Cheap.
Why is it strange?
Because nobody goes out on a Sunday night here.
Well, the place I got is pretty busy.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yes.
I tell you what, I want you to take a picture when you get there.
Why are you having a go at him for going out on a Sunday night?
I'm just telling them.
It's a strange thing.
You know where you live on a Sunday night?
Nobody goes out.
Yeah,
no, it's great.
People go out where you live.
Of course.
People go out where I live. Unfortunately, we're here.
No one's out on a Sunday.
No, they don't. Not on a Sunday.
Hey, Frank, we'll be going out soon when you come over here. Beautiful. Yeah.
Not on a Sunday, Frank.
Not on a Sunday.
Frank, Mark Donaldson says it's okay if I have some of your chips.
Yeah, you can just have the fries. Frank's very generous with your fries, aren't you, Frank?
Okay, guys. Yeah, okay, no problem. I'm going to come with my shorts, for sure.
Yes, perfect.
Put them over your head.
Stevie's off to coach. Tomorrow we'll be reflecting on the Champions League draw and Real Madrid.